Actually, it was very good. It was great. And there were six families from HBC there. Lots of our kids are into ballet, as it happens, which is great. And England beat Italy, and Liverpool beat Tottenham, so the world's a good place. I hope you've had a good day. And some of us have been busy with Mother's Day as well. But I want to begin by asking a rhetorical question this evening, which is, in what ways do you think you might act differently if you were not a Christian? In what ways do you think you might act differently if you were not a Christian? Yeah, quite. How do you think you might think differently? How might you speak differently? How might you act differently? It's interesting. If you've not been a Christian a long time, you may actually be able to answer that more easily or quickly. If you've been a Christian a few years, you may be able to look back, depending on the age you were when you gave your life to Christ, and say, well, I can actually see some very specific ways in which I've changed. Not everything about me has changed, but I can see that God has done some very specific things in me. But if you've been a Christian a long time, and I know that there are many in the room who have been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 40 or more years, then it can get a bit harder, can't it, to see how God has changed us and how God is changing us. What I want us to look at tonight, we've got a few verses from Ephesians 5, and I hope these will very much lead us into this time of prayer that we're going to have. Paul? Yeah. Can anyone read that? I really, really want... I've broken my normal rules because you need 32-point text to really see it well, and this is less than that, but I really wanted to get the whole passage on here. But if you can make some of the words out, that will be helpful. So, yes, that didn't fit on. It's Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 20. Let me just read this to us. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to draw your attention, first of all, to verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So Paul's speaking to the Ephesian church here, and he's saying, remember what you were. Okay, that's where we started. What were you like before Christ changed you? Paul said, remember what you were. And in case their memory is failing them, he has a long list of what they were to remind them. And it's what you might call a vice list, a list of vices. And you can group some of them together. You've got a number of sins relating to sexual immorality. First of all, you've got sexual immorality there. The Greek is porneia, where we get the word pornography from. Next to that, you have impurity. And together, those two words on their own are quite comprehensive. They would really, in a blanket way, cover all those sins which any sexual conduct outside of marriage, basically, would be covered by those. That, of course, is God's ordained context. Marriage is his ordained context for sexual relationships. And then we have immorality in verse 5 and debauchery in verse 18. So there are these various sexual sins that Paul mentions, and we'll see why he mentions these in a moment. Then we have what you might call sins of speech, obscenity, foolish talk. Of course, joking. I don't know if any of these characterized you before you came to Christ. They did me. I became a Christian when I was 11, but before, at that age, I had a really foul mouth. I got into a lot of trouble at school for it as well. There are other sins mentioned there too, like greed, idolatry. He's actually saying these sins, really what they are is idolatry, foolishness, drunkenness. Now, these are just the ones Paul mentions to the Ephesians. But some of these he mentions because they're embedded in their culture. Alcohol. He said, don't get drunk. Alcohol was used in pagan worship as a means for freedom in worship and liberation. It was a way of abandonment, of losing yourself, of going into this ecstatic experience. And so alcohol would have been used. This is Ephesus. This is where you've got the temple of Diana or Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and alcohol was used in worship. So come to the temple and get drunk and worship. Sexual immorality. There was 1,000 what at the temple of Diana? Anyone know? 1,000 temple prostitutes. That gives a whole other dimension to worship, doesn't it? I'm off to worship. If you had sexual relationships with a prostitute at the temple, it was regarded as worship. It was a religious act. So drunkenness and sexual immorality were legitimated by the religion in Ephesus. It's okay to do things. It's good to do these things because it's a spiritual thing to do. He also mentions here some of these sins that would just be to do with, I guess, a sense of arrogance. You know, in the culture of the day, in pagan Greek culture, humility wasn't valued. Humility wasn't a way to get forwards in life. So they despised humility as a quality. What they looked for was actually self-assertion and so on. And also there was a growing thought called Gnosticism, which said that it doesn't matter what you do, because whatever you do in your body doesn't affect your soul. Okay, so you can do what you like. But your spirit will be uncontaminated. It will be pure. It's aloof from all of that. So Paul mentions, I think, some of these vices or sins or failings, and some of them were embedded in Ephesian culture. This is what they came from, okay? I wonder what list Paul would write if he was writing to the Oxonians. Is it Oxonians or Oxfordians? Maybe they're two different things. Well, is that the people in Oxfordshire? Maybe Oxfordians, people in Oxford, or the Headingtonians, or the Bartonians?
Or Northwayans.
Northwayans, that doesn't work, Jess. Sorry. So, I wonder what he would write. I wonder what sins are amongst us in our culture that we are somewhat blinded to, that we don't quite see them. Because we have this cultural blind spot. I'm sure there are lots, actually. But these list of sins or vices, they represent darkness. Darkness is to do with ignorance, error, and evil. And Paul says very clearly that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so that is what they were, but we have this in verse 8, but now. But now, because he's talking to converts. He says, now you are light in the Lord, and so live as children of light. Light, of course, is right there through the Bible as a theme. It's related to God, it's related to God's word, it's related to Christ, and it's related to us. So 1 John 1:5 simply says, God is light. 1 Timothy 6:16, God dwells in unapproachable light. Psalm 104, verse 2, God wraps himself in light as with a garment. And then we have that famous verse, Psalm 119, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Psalm 19:8, God's commands give light to the eyes. John 1:4, in Christ was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And then, of course, amazingly, it gets applied to us, those who follow God. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Philippians 2:15, we're told to shine like stars in a crooked and depraved generation. What does it mean to live as light? Well, for this list of vices that we've seen, there's an equally long list in here of virtues, which are, if you like, practical applications of what it means. So this isn't all just theory, this is very rooted and earthed for us. Instead of those sexual sins, we see an emphasis on love. This is not a twisted form of love, this is a pure sense of love, agape love, a love that is not about self-indulgence, but is about self-sacrifice. It's epitomized by Christ who gave his life for us, and we are called to that same attitude of love. We walk in it. Instead of the sins of speech, we have thanksgiving. What a great thing to replace swearing and cussing with thanksgiving. And also worship. Thanksgiving is mentioned twice at the top and the bottom, but also near the bottom there we have worship. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making music in your heart to the Lord. And then we have a few other virtues. We're told in verse 9 that the fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 15 mentions wisdom. Verse 16 speaks of using our time well. And then also we have two verses which speak of living in God's will. Find out what pleases the Lord and understand what the Lord's will is. So God calls us to live differently. To the things we once were are those lists of vices. That's what we've come from. But what we've been saved for is this list of virtues that we see. These are the expression of salvation. We do these things, we live in these things in response to the grace that we've received in Christ. And our world needs this, doesn't it? It really needs this. On the day I prepared this talk, which was Thursday, yes, 3 days in advance, I thought I'll just check the headlines, just to give some examples of what happened on Thursday, okay? Just to have a look at the darkness. Now, before I say this, I don't want to get all pessimistic. I know for all the bad headlines, there are lots of wonderful things in the world, and there's a lot more joy and happiness than the media tend to report. But, nevertheless, we do live in a place of darkness. So, on Thursday, these are some of the headlines. In China, a car thief, he stole a car and there was a baby in the back, 2-month-old, and it was crying, so he strangled it and killed it. In India, a lady approached a couple of policemen complaining that she'd been sexually harassed, and they beat her. There's a video on BBC News about it. You may have heard that a mother died in a road rage attack. Someone parked their car so close to her car that she couldn't get her toddler through the door into the car. And this woman basically ran this lady over. The woman who was run over is the one who couldn't get a child into the car, just so we're clear on that. The lady ran her over. The woman was carried on the bonnet for 20 feet, then slid off the bonnet, hit a Belisha beacon, and died on the spot. Just a bit of road rage, bit of temper. A man was convicted for killing his heavily pregnant fiancée. He kicked her, stamped on her, and was charged, found guilty of her murder and the murder of the unborn baby. Teacher was jailed for an affair with a pupil. And of course, as you probably heard, a 15-year-old girl in Birmingham was stabbed to death on a bus at 7:30 in the morning. Now, I'm not saying that to depress you, but this is the world we live in. And there are real elements of darkness about it, and we are called to live a better way, to show a better way, to expose the darkness for what it is by living as God tells us to live as children of light. I love what the Chinese have. They've got a great proverb. They say, don't curse the darkness, light a candle. I'd like you to close your eyes for a moment. And I'd like you to picture yourselves going about your daily life, whether that's walking to work, cycling, driving, whether that's in the office or the lab or the classroom or in your home, mixing with those around you in your day-to-day living. And although it may seem strange, I just want you to imagine light shining out of you to all those around you. So just imagine light emanating out of your body to all those around you. They can see this light that's coming from you. You're practically glowing, if you like. You can open your eyes now. I know you're thinking of physical light, but the thing is, what you've pictured is a spiritual reality that we're called to. We are called to exactly that, that actually God's light should emanate from us in a far more wonderful way than if we were shining physically, because we are revealing God and Christ to those around us. That is our calling. That is how we are told to live. If you think about it, there are three ways the devil can try to obstruct this light. First of all, he can try to blind those who would see the light. And we're told in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the devil has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Secondly, he can try to get us to hide our light, hide it under a bowl, which is why Jesus said, don't hide your light, but let it shine so men may see your good deeds. Praise your Father in heaven. And the other way he can do it is by trying to mix the light with the darkness. And there's two ways he can do this. One is he can try to get darkness into the church. And we've seen this a lot, haven't we? With corruption scandals in churches, with sexual scandals in churches. You know, it's a scientific fact that, if I'm wrong, don't correct me, please, but it's a scientific fact that dark objects do not reflect light as well as light objects. And the darker the church gets, the more sin in the church, the less it can radiate the light of God to those around. So the devil would love to get some darkness into the church, but he'd also, I believe, like to get a bit of light into culture, which might sound odd, but just a bit of light, a veneer of religion, some good sort of what some call middle-class values, which people forget actually have their origin in God, in God's word. God asks us to shine. He asks us to shine, to live as those children of light. Let me finish by talking about verse 18, I hope this will lead us into a time of response and prayer. Verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. How do we shine? By being filled with the Spirit. I want to mention just four things about that word, be filled, that verb. The first one is, it's in the imperative mood. It's a command. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. We are to be filled with the Spirit. Secondly, it's in the present tense. We are to keep being filled. I don't know if you go to Spring Harvest or Soul Survivor and you may have those experiences and these are massive sort of peaks in your Christian year. But the reality is God tells us to be filled every day. They're great, but we have to find the means, the disciplines to actually know that fullness in our day-to-day life. It's a continuous experience of being filled. It's a plural verb. It's not just like saying second person singular, like to Adam here, Adam, you be filled. God is saying it to all of us, you be filled. And I love this because it just reminds me that actually, if you're doing well in God, if you feel you're full with the Spirit, well, don't be smug about it, because we have a duty towards one another. It's not just enough if we're doing well. We want others to do well also. We should only be satisfied when the whole church here is full of God's Spirit. We shouldn't settle for less than that. So we're such terrible individualists. This is about those around you as you look around. We need to together be filled with the Spirit. And this is one I find most interesting. It's in the passive voice. Passive, the active, an active voice is what you do. The passive is something that's done to you. And what this is saying is, let the Holy Spirit fill you. You know, I cannot say, hey, I'm going to fill the Spirit, as if I can go and take hold of the Spirit and force the Spirit into my life. It's the Spirit who comes and takes up residence within me, yeah, and within you. So how then, why are we told to be filled with the Spirit? How do we do that if it's actually the Spirit's work? Well, we do it by making space for the Spirit, don't we? How do we do that? By turning from the things that we once were and living for the things that become the children of light. There's no, we don't passively drift into holiness. We actively let go of sin. And it's actually as we do that, that the Spirit comes and fills our lives. And as we spend time with God, the Spirit will fill our lives. He wants to do that absolutely desperately. God has no reserve. He doesn't have some desire. One thing we're absolutely sure of is God's will. He wants as much of his presence in us as is possible at any time. He absolutely does. So we have to make space for the Spirit. We're going to move into a time of prayer in a moment. And this is just an opportunity tonight just to come and receive prayer. And it might be actually the thing you want prayer for is exactly this. You want to be filled with the Spirit. We all as Christians have the Spirit within us, but you want a greater measure of God's Spirit. And it might mean coming and saying no to things tonight. God, I'm going to turn from that because there's something better. I want more of you. Yeah? It could be that you feel there's this darkness within that you haven't turned from the things God told you to. It could be that there's a darkness within which is not your own sin. It's the result of sin of others. Others have sinned against you. And that you're holding on to that in bitterness, unforgiveness, low self-esteem. You're not entering into the person God says you are. You know, the sin of others has a huge impact on us. Come for prayer for that, if that's your concern this evening. Somebody said, Jamie, you'll like this, negatives are developed in the dark. And, you know, we need to bring those negatives that we live with into God's light, that he can change them and renew them, transform them. And it might be that tonight you want physical healing. I want a few of you later on to pray for me. I've got a bad back. I've had it for over a year and I'm getting fed up with it. And I believe God can heal me if he chooses to. It may be that God chooses tonight to glorify himself and to glorify his name by bringing healing to one or two people here. He can do that. We don't know if he will. We don't know his will and purposes. But what we do know is what he's told us to do, which is to pray. God has said, if you're sick, come and receive prayer. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. That's our job. Our job is to pray with trust, and we leave the rest in God's hands. Sometimes people are anointed with oil, which is, of course, in Scripture, a symbol of the Spirit. We have some oil this evening. If you'd like to be anointed with oil as a symbol and a sign, a tangible sign of God's Spirit resting on you and filling you, then ask for that. So what's going to happen is Dave's going to come up in a moment with the musicians. They're going to play, and we're not in a rush. You don't have to all sort of come up at the same time. But just through those songs, if at any point you would like prayer, I think there are at least six people here who are available to pray with you. So just come to the front, or alternatively go to the back. There'll be some people at the back. And just tell them what you'd like prayer for. If you'd like anointing with oil, just say, and we'll do that. And let's trust God this evening. Sorry, Dave, I've spoken for far longer than I intended to, but let me just say this. Let's just trust God this evening. This is not about human beings. This is about God. He can do what he likes. He's a powerful God. If he wants to heal us, that is the easiest thing in the world for him. And some of the greatest healings, let's remember, are those spiritual, emotional healings. Some of our disabilities are profoundly on the inside. So whatever it is we need, let's trust him. If he wants to, he can do it. Thanks, Dave.